It's Boomer and Geo. Mornings on The Fan, 101.9 FM.
My job is to try to get us to a championship. That's all I care about. Because remember, when they fired Tibbs, what they said in their PR statement that they put out, and that was, we're all about championships, and I'm paraphrasing. We want to win a championship, and the reason we essentially fired the coach is we don't think he can get us there.
Listen to Boomer and Geo on demand on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
An Odyssey Sports Station. It's 4 o'clock on the number one sports talk show for your drive home.
I mean, you know how it is, rocking and rolling and whatnot.
This is Dukes and Bell.
Brought to you by Finley Roofing.
We've got you covered.
Atlanta's most trusted and recommended roofer.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Falcons have a new kicker in the building. Does not mean that Young Wei Koo will not be kicking on Sunday. But it does mean that there may be a little bit more pressure for him to deliver, which should have been the case either way. But the Falcons signed kicker Parker Romo to their practice squad today. That is news because they said there would be competition. And we'll let you hear coming up at 5 o'clock what Raheem Morris had to say about it. Also, as far as Koo and how Morris felt over the offseason, he said, and I'm paraphrasing here, there were signs. You think? There were signs.
Yeah, I mean, and there's the stuff yesterday, you know, it started with Koo, you know, not standing up and taking the questions like when he should have on Sunday. We waited until Monday to hear from what he said after somebody probably told him what he better do. And then the comments, we played the audio yesterday, and I had people, you know, same thing at the gym today. Like, what, that turf? Yeah, the turf you kick on. The turf that you kicked on as a pro bowler. That now it's that turf? I mean, what? I mean, I know they had soccer put regular grass in that rolled up, and now the field turf is back the way it always was.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't even know what that meant. It just, yeah, and I just don't understand how we talked about earlier, Moody, the kicker for the 49ers, missed a couple, and they cut him loose immediately. You know, it's just, it's so weird. This goes back to, if you want to talk about the organization, yeah, that to me is a red flag. Why did we allow this situation that we knew was a problem? So it was resolved? Koo misses a kick in the final preseason game against the Cowboys, and we're all A-okay? You know, after not really being pressed by a guy who never was a true competition, if we're honest, he was an international kicker, which is a nice, fun story, but is it a real challenge to a guy? You hear this all the time, Carl, when a veteran struggles. They're bringing in real – that wasn't real competition.
No, and hopefully this is
– You can't keep getting away with it!
But we got to get it figured out. We got to get it figured out. Moral Myth coming up right now. Let's talk some dogs.
Dukes and Bell on the sidelines with the dogs.
Connor Riley, should I be concerned that Gunnar Stockton had to throw the ball 34 times against Austin Peay? Should I be concerned?
No, not with the amount of times they threw the ball. I think the bigger thing with Gunnar right now is, you know, sure, he's not making mistakes. He's not taking sacks. But when plays are there, he's just hesitant to let it rip. And I think there are a number of reasons for this. I think he's, and Colby Young touched on this a little bit yesterday, wanting to be too precise, wanting to be too perfect, not wanting to make a mistake. And the reality is, as you play the quarterback position, you can't wait for the perfect moment every time. You've got to deliver the ball on time when there is a window there. And so when you're not making those throws against Austin Peay and against Marshall, something he didn't do a great job of that first week, I do understand why there's some concern of if he's going to be able to do that against an SEC defense in Tennessee. Mind you, a Tennessee defense that is pretty banged up right now.
I know that we said it earlier, it's hard to realize what you got or what you don't got because of, you know, the competition, the level of competition. You know, last year you had to get ready for Clemson, and a couple years back it was Oregon, and you came out and you looked really effective. Tennessee just seems like they've had a better, if you want to call their first, you know, obviously they had a challenge against maybe an undermanned Syracuse team, but they looked a little more commanding. You know, we're talking about game control. They've had it. Do you feel this is a game which is ripe for the upset?
You know, upset is maybe a bit strong for me, but I can understand how a lot of people think that way. And the reason I don't go and say full upset is, one, the historical success that Kirby Smart has had at Neyland Stadium, and particularly against Josh Heupel, since he has taken over, these two teams, despite Tennessee, yes, rebuilding from the sanctions of the Jeremy Pruitt era, have just not been close in the games that they've played, even with Tennessee jumping out to an early lead in all of those games. So I think this defense is legit. I expect Saturday to be a low-scoring game. I think something along the lines of 23-13, 2017, somewhere in that range, where it's hard to win on the road and Georgia's just going to have to grind it out. But I can't disagree and sit here and say that Georgia has had a better start to the season than Tennessee. Mind you, this is a Tennessee team that faced all kind of questions coming in the year with their own quarterback situation, with Nico leaving in the spring and them having to go out and get Joey Aguilar. Through the first two games, now granted, some of this is the hypo scheme, they have aced every offensive question that you can have and throw at them. So I certainly understand why, if you're a Georgia fan, you are perhaps a little bit worried about the way things are trending going into this game.
We're talking with our buddy Connor Riley from Dog Nation, 3:30 Saturday in Knoxville. This is a game that we've been talking about for weeks now because it was like, okay, their first real test, first real test. Well, it's here. By the way, Heupel's 32-1 when the Vols allow 25 points or less. That's an impressive stat, Connor.
Yeah, this is a Tennessee program where, you know, we talk so much about the offense because that's what Heupel's known for. But in recent seasons, they've won because of their defense and their running game. And obviously the 2022 season where they rose up to number one in the rankings sort of serves as the outlier. But the last two seasons where, mind you, Georgia's the only team that has gone into Neyland Stadium and found a way to come out with a win when they did back in 2023. You know, Heupel has done a really impressive job of building this program to where it is, where, you know, if they win this game and you look at the rest of Tennessee's schedule, they've got an excellent chance of making it to the playoffs. And even if they lose this game, you know, they don't play a Texas. They don't play an LSU. They have a manageable schedule the rest of the way from here where, you know, if they're able to go 1-2 in games against Oklahoma, Alabama, and Georgia, there's a very real chance that they're going to find themselves back in the playoff conversation once again, which I don't think anyone was saying back in April when they were dealing with the Nico fallout. So it is a testament to what Heupel has built as a program that Tennessee now is at the very least competitive year in, year out. I'm not quite willing to say they're on that top-tier level that Georgia has occupied in recent years, but they've done a good job of leveling up and getting as close to they have been at the top of the SEC in quite some time.
Has Georgia just been sandbagging? That game, we said a lot this week that it's kind of like the Cowboys and Eagles. I just mentioned it to Carl about how you can defend them and how they looked against the Governors because it just, all that rain delay and thunder and lightning just took everything out of everybody, including the student section, with good measure. Do you feel that, you know, we're going to be laughing about this Monday, that it's an offensive explosion, the transfer wide receivers, all the things are clicking, the run game, and everything which, you know, we thought we were going to see, we're going to see in Tennessee?
The only thing that holds me back from that is just that there wasn't really anything downfield from Georgia in that game. You know, I thought they ran the ball well. They've run the ball for all the complaints about the offensive line, which are justified. The first two games, they've done an excellent job running the ball. I like the talent that they have at running back that has quickly emerged. I really like the talent they have at wide receiver. Colby Young looked really good on Saturday. Zachariah Branch has had an explosive play every time he's touched the ball. I think you're going to see Noah Thomas get more involved this coming Saturday. The question just centers, and it always seems to here at the University of Georgia, just around the quarterback play and what they're going to get out of Gunnar Stockton. And so he knows that he needs to go out there and walk that fine line between, you know, protecting the football and playing to the strength, which I think is this team's defense, but at the same point in time, making plays when they're available. Carson Beck was able to do that when they went up to Tennessee a few years ago. Stetson Bennett did so in the 2021 season. This is a game where Gunnar Stockton, at least once or twice in the second half of this game, I believe he's going to be asked to make a play. You know, maybe he's able to do it with his legs, but he's going to have to show he can win with his arms, something I don't think we've really seen these first 2 weeks.
Connor, concerned with the O-line. I know Bo Hughley and I think Dontrell Glover got some playing time in that game last week. What's the situation up front?
Yeah, I think right now it's a bit of a health concern. I expect Ernest Green, Georgia's starting right tackle, to be back this week. He's been dealing with a little bit of a back injury. Juan Gaston, the freshman who opened the season at right guard, dealing with a knee ankle injuries. I'm a little bit more skeptical that we see him this week against Tennessee. You know, they've got to find the best five-man combination they have. I thought Bo Hughley, when he entered the game against Austin Peay, he looked really good. The coaching staff really likes what they've seen from Dontrell Glover, which is impressive considering he didn't get here until the summer. To expect Glover to come in and play a big role on the road against Tennessee, I just think is a lot to ask for someone who still hasn't played a ton. So I'm going to be really interested in this game, what they do with Ernest Green, how often Bo Hughley plays, and just sort of how this offensive line comes together. Because I do like the pieces that you have, and when they've been healthy, I think this group has real potential. But the injuries have made that a little bit tough right now, especially with some young guys like Gaston and like Glover needing those valuable reps and playing time.
What do you think it'll be a little X factor in this game? Somebody, I mean, an underclassman, one of the transfers, or somebody who you think he's just right? You've seen some things in the first two games. You feel he can really pop on Saturday night in Knoxville, Saturday afternoon.
Georgia fans, because they follow the program so closely, I don't necessarily know if this guy's an X factor. But Chris Cole is someone who can do a lot of different things. And I think, you know, he had a sack this past Saturday. Like Jalen Walker, he can play inside linebacker and outside linebacker. And I think because of the way Tennessee's going to want to play, where they spread you out and they force guys in that box to make plays, I think Chris Cole is someone who, from a national conversation standpoint, is someone we're going to be talking a lot about coming out of this game. Yes, Georgia has two studs at inside linebacker and C.J. Allen and Raylan Wilson, but this guy's a little different in part because of his positional versatility and how they can move him around the field.
Joey Aguilar better than Gunnar Stockton. Would you say that for right now going into this game?
Right now, yes. I think you have to say that. Aguilar, yes, he comes with his warts. He's very turnover prone at App State. And look, this is by far going to be the best defense that they are going to play. I'd be shocked if they put up 40 points in this game. But with Gunnar, you've got to see him make those plays. I thought he looked pretty good, or relatively good, rather, in that Notre Dame game. He was thrown in a tough situation against Texas. His legs looked really good against Marshall to open the season, but like Marshall lost to Missouri State last week, so I don't know how much you want to take away from a game like that. And Gunnar Stockton right now, you know, for all the offseason talk we did about the offensive line, the defensive line, the running backs, Gunnar Stockton's pretty clearly the biggest question mark on this team right now. And they're not close to benching him. There's not a quarterback controversy yet. But he's got to go out there and play well this week and make plays if Georgia's going to go on the road in the SEC and come away with a win.
All right. He's Connor the Irishman, Carl, instead of Jimmy the Greek. We'll get to the spread. 3.5 right now. So Georgia, 3.5-point favorite at Neyland Stadium, which you know is going to be rocking. And then against the over-under, 49.5. So a 27-24 puts you over. Does that sound about right? Close game, or you think Georgia takes command in the second half?
Gamblers beware. I would take the under in this game. I just think both these teams are going to want to play to the strengths of their defenses right now.
Yeah.
And I think whichever team you believe is going to win this game, like if you think Tennessee is going to win this game, bet Tennessee on the money line. Just bet that. You get better value there. If you think Georgia is going to win this game, I actually do believe they cover the spread in that regard. Now that it's down to 3.5, I think I'd feel a little...
It's Boomer and Geo. Mornings on the Fan, 101.9 FM.
I want players who want to play. I don't want players who are oft injured. I want players who give a crap. And I really feel like, you know, since, Thibodeau got here and Leon Rose got here, and I guess you could say World Wide West, that they've tried to bring in players who kind of mirrored that kind of thinking.
Listen to Boomer and Geo on demand on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bit more squirrely if it opened at 6.5. But if you feel confident that Georgia's going to win this game, and I do, I would feel comfortable with those 3.5 points.
Going to be a good game. Connor, appreciate you. You're going up. You guys doing some stuff on the river. Are you part of that or no?
We are. We're going to be on the river Saturday morning, getting ready for a massive SEC game between Georgia and Tennessee this week.
Nice. All right, man. Have fun. I know it's going to be a lot of fun with Dog Nation up there, and we'll talk to you next week, and we'll see where this thing is. Thanks again, Connor.
Yep. Thanks, guys.
It's Boomer and Geo. Mornings on the Fan, 101.9 FM.
I want players who want to play. I don't want players who are oft injured. I want players who give a crap. And I really feel like, you know, since, Thibodeau got here and Leon Rose got here, and I guess you could say World Wide West, that they've tried to bring in players who kind of mirrored that kind of thinking.
Listen to Boomer and Geo on demand on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.